Obviously, I'm John Shannon from Tennessee, just a gospel preacher. And today's lesson is taken from the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verses 15 and 16. We'll read that text, and what we'll do, we'll give the interpretation, and alone would make an application. Don't try to take that down. If you would like to have a copy of this lesson, I've already provided a copy. And if you folks can afford it, you have a copy machine, and you can make a duplicate of it. Is that all right? Now, the Bible says, if you have your Bibles, just turn, if you would, to the book of Ephesians. You may not be able to see it. Chapter 4 and verse number 15 and 16. It says, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, for whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplied, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. That's the text. And our subject is God's plan. I want you to get that now. God's plan. Not ours. Not yours. Not the elders. Not the preacher. Not the deacons. Not the members. God's plan for a well-working church. I was informed in my own, when I got here, that this is a military town. Navy personnel, a lot of them. Well, I'm ex-military. I was a paratrooper with the 101 Airborne Division and a Vietnam vet. And they had strict rules and regulations for a well-working paratrooper unit. God is a God of organization. A well-working church. If you want a well-working Navy, there's rules that you must follow that you didn't make. And I know some of you boys would love to change some of those rules. Well, even in the church of our Lord, it's the same way. We have members would love to change the rules in Jesus' kingdom, the church. Now, we have 7 points in these two verses that we're going to deal with. Is that all right? Now, God's, boy, this is good. You think I can keep this? Boy, this is nice. God's plan for a well-working church. Now, point number one, can you see that? We have the scripture, verse 15a. Point number two, 15b. We have a Savior. Point number three, we have the saved are. Then we have situated. Then we have supplying, and we have suitable, and we have spreading. Is that all right? Now, this is not something I just made up. It's all in the text. Let's go down this text and unpack it. You know we'll unpack something? Unpack it. Let's unpack this text and look at the stuff that's in it. It's a lot of stuff in the text. Maybe you're not just overlooked. But we're going to unpack the text and unfold it so you can see what the Holy Spirit is saying to us to be a well-working church for the Lord. Now, it says, watch it, but speak the truth in love. So we must be mature in our speech. See that? Are you mature in your speech? The Holy Spirit said to the Apostle Paul, speak, orate, the truth. That's God's word. How? In love. What do you mean? We have to be mature. Are you mature? Wait a minute. Is it that bad that y'all just looking so sour this morning? You're at home. I'm a long ways from home. Now you could smile a little bit, you know, smiling faces. Is that all right? We're gonna be good. We're gonna be good this week. Amen. Speak the truth in love. When you tell a person the truth, are you trying to help, trying to hurt, or hinder? Many times we speak the truth to individuals who are not members of the kingdom, and we look like we're trying to crucify them. No, speak it in love. Let me tell you something. You don't have to make the truth rough or speak it roughly. Why? Because it's designed to do a job. Just be nice. Jesus said, you shall know the truth, John 8, 32, and the truth shall make you free. So speak it, the truth in love. Mature in our speech. Then he says, may grow up into him in all things. Mature in our Savior. Not only mature in our speech, but we need to be mature in the Savior. Who is the Savior? Jesus the Christ. What do you mean mature? Time for us to grow up in Jesus. Well, it's pretty hard. I see right now I'm going to have a pretty hard time this week. I can see you folks in Florida not used to Tennessee preachers. I can see that, especially my kind. I know I'm different. I look different, and I'm different. I'm John Shannon. This is where I teach and preach, all over the country, all over the world, internet everywhere. Well, anyway, watch it. So we need to grow, mature in the Savior. Grow. How do you grow in it? By knowledge. Grow in the knowledge. Knowledge. That's how you grow and develop. Okay. Now, then it says, which is the head? You go in Christ. So he's the head. You know the head is always give directions. Is that right? So, hey, man, that's good, isn't it? The master, our supervisor. Christ is our master. He's our supervisor. All of the eyes, or your eyes, are in your head. You see that? Eyes, head gives the direction. Your feet don't give the direction. Hands don't give the direction. The head. Christ is the head. He gives the direction to his church or his people. Amen. You included. All of us. Is that pretty good? Amen. Now, watch it now. He's our supervisor. Which is the head? Christ is the head of the church. He's the kingdom in the kingdom, and his laws are the decrees. The New Testament, the doctrine of Christ, that's the thing that directs us. Christ directs through his teaching. Got it? Then it says, even Christ, the Messiah, our Savior. Christ is the Savior. Jesus means Savior. Christ means Messiah. The Messiah is the anointed one. And that's Christ Jesus. Am I doing all right, young man? Am I doing all right? Amen. You sure? All right, good. I just want to check. Well, even Christ. So he's the Messiah. Then it says in 16a, the saved are emancipated from whom the whole body. What do you mean the body? I have a picture here of a building. That's not really the body of Christ. Because Peter said that the body of Christ, or the church of Christ, is a spiritual institution and is located in Christ. Ephesians 1:3, all spiritual blessings. Am I sounding all right? All spiritual blessings. Every one of them are in Christ. And the church of Christ is a spiritual blessing. And if you are in Christ, you are watching. You are blessed. Amen. To be in Christ Jesus. All spiritual blessings are in Christ. God that deposited it. All the spiritual blessings, they're in Christ. See? And of whom the whole body. Now, when you say the whole body, talking about the church, the people who have obeyed the gospel, they are the saved. they are the emancipated. What do you mean emancipated? I don't like to use words and assume that all you smart people understand them. So I'll break them down. The word emancipation means to be free. Liberty. Well, we are free in Christ. Free from what? Suffering physically? No. We're free from sin in Christ. Ephesians 1:7 says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. So we have forgiveness of sin in Christ. No forgiveness of sin outside of Christ. Boy, isn't that good. So we're the saved. Saved. All of the saved are in the church of Christ. I've got some brethren that think they're saved folks outside the church. There aren't any saved people outside of the church of Christ. Well, some of you looking at me a little funny. I'm sorry. I don't have anything but the gospel. And when you're in Christ, you're part of the saved. Now, then the whole body, that's all of us. We got some folk who are saved you never saw in your life. I told my wife, I said, I got to go to Florida and see all these folks. And don't know but two folks here. Two. This young man, I thought I saw his wife somewhere. Is she here? Kathleen, that's right. I've been knowing Kathleen 100 years. Yeah. Now see all these folks. I got to see all these. But see, you're saved folks. So I'm not going to have any problem out of you. See, I'm not going to have any problem out of you if you're saved. If you're a Christian, I'm not going to have a problem. You're going to treat me good. All right. Then we'll go a little further. And it says, watch it here. 16b, situate. It says, fitly joined together. He didn't say join together. Fitly, so listen, established. It's fitly joined together. It ain't joined together, but it's fitly. God have placed us in the body, and we're fitly joined together. Fitly. I like that. Fitly. It just fits. We just fit. I met this couple last night. They were nice to me last night. Came to the airport and picked me up. And they treated me so nice. Never saw them a day in my life. Fitly joined together. Now, you better bow and wave your hand and say amen while you can, because it's going to get a little rough. I tell you, it's going to get a little rough. Now, it says, watch it, and compact. So that's entwined. Compact. You ladies know what a compact is? Oh, I guarantee you ladies, see, if you're looking good, you got a compact with you, don't you? See, compact is tightly fit. Got it? Compact. So we're compact. See, John Shannon, I'm compact. Oh, I'm a little better than 200 pounds. Yeah, and I'm well put together. Compact. What do you mean? Tightly fit. Entwined. That's the way we are as a congregation of God's people. Tightly. All members of the Church of Christ ought to be real tight and together. Is that good? Now, then it says, watch it. So we're entwined, and then it says, watch it. Now watch this now. Supplying. Here we go. By that which every, each employee. Are you an employee? Oh, you think you're the employer? Well, some of us think we run this thing. You don't run the Church of Christ. We got one employer. You know who that is? That's King Jesus. Amen. And he tells us what to do.
Amen.
Isn't that right? Now, and then he says, by the which every. Sometimes you may walk down the aisle here or through here, and you see a piece of paper on the floor. And somebody said, somebody ought to pick that up. Well, I tell them at home, aren't you somebody? Well, let's go home. Somebody ought to clean or take the garbage can out. That's what the husband would say. Well, aren't you somebody? That's what the kids say. Well, aren't you somebody? Aren't you part of this family?
Amen.
Aren't you part of this church?
Amen.
Every, all. Now, every joint supply. Each endorsement, what are you supplying? There's some joints here, see here, on my body. It produces something. Everything in my body is working right now. Thank God for that. You got every joint supply. Are you supplying anything in this church? Let me illustrate like this. Let's bring a table here. Put a chair here and a chair here. You got a relationship between a man and a woman, a boy and a girl. Now, what are you bringing to the table? Just bring yourself. You think a relationship is going to work just how good you look? Do you think a church will operate on how good you look? Or do you think you need to bring something to the table? Is this good teaching? You got to bring something to the table. What are you bringing to the table at this congregation? Are you supplying anything? Or you just come on Sunday morning, hear a good lesson, and hope that you get out in time to beat the Baptist at the restaurant? Oh, the same thing goes on in Florida. I don't know what kind of restaurant you got here. But hey, at home, we got Piccadilly, and they try to beat the Baptist to the Piccadilly. I understand that. Now, listen to it. Each endorsement. How much interest do you have in Chase Manhattan? Yeah. How much interest do you have in Chase Manhattan? None, right? You know why you don't have interest there? Because you don't have any money there. See? You don't have any interest in Chase Manhattan unless you got some money there. See, you're not going to have any interest in the Church of Christ in this location unless you're doing something here. Amen. See that? Oh, it's getting quiet. You haven't been saying anything. You sure enough going to get quiet now. Do you have any interest? Yeah. You know, you participate in stuff you have interest in. All right. Now, let's go further here. That's why I like this kind of a teaching. This kind of teaching. See, you can't get mad at me. You're looking at the text yourself. All I'm doing is unpacking this stuff, and you're looking at it yourself. It says, every joint supply in my automobile home, I had 8 spark plugs, and each one of them produces something. Now, if I take my automobile to the dealership, and they put it on the machine and find out that number 8 spark plug is not firing, take it out and clean it. If it doesn't work, we got to replace it. Now, I'm not in authority to move you out of church, but Jesus is. And Jesus can take you out anytime he get ready and make a hump out of you. What do you mean? Yes, he can do that. He's got power to do. He can take you out of the Church of Christ, have you graveyard dead, and 6 months later, they forget where they buried you. You think you're that important? So you better supply. So if you want to be on the Lord's side, you need to be producing something good. Oh, isn't that nice? And you know, you look good here. Your wife got you looking good. I need to come to Florida here and dress up. Look at him. Isn't that good? So, every joint supply, and we ought to be able to produce, everybody in the Church of Christ ought to be able to produce something. Amen. Worthwhile to build the church up. Then it says, watch it. Oh, that's good, isn't it? Then it says, according to the working. Nope, it didn't say working. It says effectual working. What do you mean effectual working? That's properly performing. See, when General Motors made their automobiles, they designed that automobile to properly perform, but everything had to be intact. We're talking about a well-working local church. Now, some of you fellas been in the military, I don't know if you was a paratrooper, Navy, or Marine Corps, but when I was in Vietnam, we had an area to take and hold and take another area. Listen, do you know why this church is located in this area? Watch it. Not for entertainment. right here. King Jesus had put us in this area so we can take this area. This part of Florida belongs to us.
Amen.
Did you hear that? Did you ever hear about General Patton? The Third Army during World War II in Europe. He said, brother, we can lose this war. So therefore, men, we got to get out here and fight. Are you willing to fight? Mm. Fight. Yeah. Fight whom? The devil and false doctor. And his disciple with the false doctor. Now, so effectual work. Watch it. Evaluation of work. Limitation. In the measure of every part. Wait a minute. Evaluation. Have you made an evaluation of your work since you've been in the church? What do you mean evaluation? I do it all the time. I ask myself at the end of the year, how many souls have I taught Bible class? How many individuals in the body of Christ have I edified and built up and try to bring back to Christ?
Mind me touching you, do you? I see you've been reading that Bible there. Good. Bless you all.
Have you made an honest evaluation? You got to make an honest evaluation. What am I supplying in the Church of Christ in this area? God not only wants your time and your talent, but he wants your treasure as well. Wait a minute now. He wants your time. He wants your talent. That's your ability. And he wants your treasure. That's some of your money. He doesn't want it all. He doesn't want all your time. But I'll guarantee you this. If the Church of Christ will ever grow in this area, you're going to have to do more than coming here on Sunday morning for an hour, Sunday night for an hour, and Wednesday night for an hour, then go home and... How you think a church is going to grow like that? You tell me. Boy, it's got quiet. It's gotten quiet. Are y'all still here? Anybody home? Hello? You know what I'm doing? I'm coming right down your avenue. Right down the street where you live. And I'm knocking on your door. You won't answer now, dial your phone, your cell phone. I'm coming right down there. Oh, this lesson is designed to make you think. And then I look for somebody to be better. God expects you to do better. Is that pretty good? Now, watch it. Evaluation of one's work. Limit. You know, you can only do so much, but you need to evaluate your own work. Is that right? Properly performing in the measure of every part. Every part needs to produce. You know, I'm kind of a fanatic on everything working. I've got a little bakery shop home there I'm kind of redoing. And I got a lot of commercial equipment in there. And I want it all working. I may not use it this month, but when I pull it out, I want it working. Are you listening? Everything got to be working. I couldn't understand why the military just kept on. We had to train all the time. Why? But when the real deal comes up, you're ready. You want everything in your body working, don't you? Do you want your heart to quit? Do you want it to half run? Or you want it properly performing? Wait a minute. If you go to the doctor and say, you know, you got a blockage here. Two of them, three of them. Doc, we need to do something because this ticker don't need to stop. So you correct it, right? Take an honest evaluation of yourself. See how much you're putting out. That's pretty good. That's a pretty good class. Amen. All right, now we'll go a little further here. Now watch this here. Spread it. It says make an increase of the body. What do you mean? Expansion. The church of our Lord, God wants it to grow.
Amen.
Unto the edifying of itself in love. You know the human body is so designed, if you eat properly, you know what it does? Just a natural thing. Without any medication, it builds itself back up. You know that? Do you know you have cells in your body that's dying daily? And during the night, once you eat and go to bed, your body redoes itself. And you function. Right away to church is. Don't you know that we're going to all die? Thank God, not all at once. But when somebody dies, what happened? The body started working, and you replaced that one. And you want a body to die out? Let members start dying, and nobody replace them. Oh, what's going to happen if 20 members of this congregation die out and nobody's doing any edifying or doing any evangelism? What's going to die out? All you're going to have is brick and mortar, and that's not the church. So the church is designed to grow. Look what it says there. It said, make it, the word make it mean to continue it, increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. We have some members where I am to die. Sometimes the mortality rate in the congregation is pretty fast when you get a certain age. See, when you got a congregation and the average age is 7 years old, boy, you prepare for funerals. We don't like to talk about funerals, do we? I'm so sorry you don't like to talk about it. You better admit it. Well, you admit it, now it's going to happen. I'm 63 years old, and I hope I got another 20 years. You know, I may be gone tomorrow. But I'm going to leave. See, when you're 70 years old, you ought to be packed. 3 score 10, is that right? If you're 80 years old, you need to have your bags in your hand. If you're 90, you ought to be on the cell phone. 9,500, you ought to be calling. Come on. Somebody said, well, Brother Sam, that's kind of hard. No, that's reality. You're fooling yourself if you think you're going to stay around here 150 years. Oh, no. Oh, you'd like to. Some of you making plans to stay here a long time. You're not going to be here that long. Oh, no. So why? Because the next lesson is, let's go to heaven. That's what I'm going to talk about this morning. Let's go to heaven. You mean, Tim, you're putting all your bags on this earth and you know you're not going to stay here? My brethren don't understand me at home. They say, you know, Brother Santa, you're the craziest guy I've saw in my life. Everything you have, you just give it to the church. I mean, you just stole everything and give it to the church. But that's what I'm going to heaven. Do you think you're going to stay here forever? Oh, no, no, no. Honey, as good as you look, nice big old husband there, taking care of you. You're not going to stay here forever. We need to realize that. We need to come to grips with ourselves. We're not going to stay here forever. You know, Solomon said, youth is just for a season. But we leave this world. And we'll be sleeping beneath the sod. 6 to 8 months, a year after you're buried, they forget where they've been. Who? Brother who? Brother Victor, who? Victor, who? Oh, you know the little, oh yeah, yeah. I forgot all, that was 6 months ago. Edification, is that pretty good? Now, let's go a little further here now. Is that a decent lesson? Is that dealing with the text pretty good? Amen. We talked about the scripture, talked about the Savior, we talked about the saved, how we're situated. Watch and see, we're situated in a certain position to do certain things. Everybody can't do the same thing in the body, but you do what you can do. All right? Then watch it, we're supplying. Everybody needs to supply something. Now, let me point this out here. It's not only here, but is anybody in here endorsing Satan? You know what I mean by endorsing Satan? Backing him. Sometimes members of the Church of Christ come in and they get slick and they endorse the devil. When you start hating on your brothers and sisters, you're endorsing the devil. Now some of y'all looking at me funny and say, I don't like him. Well, if you don't like me, I see who you endorse. You're endorsing the devil. When I was in Vietnam, you know one thing we didn't do? See, they couldn't pull this on us. They tried it. They tried to erase your card on us in Vietnam. You black guys, what y'all over here for? When you get back home, the white folk gonna treat you bad. And you know what? Some of them say, man, don't you know that's a trick? They trying to eat. They don't like none of us. They going to kill us all. They want us to fight among ourselves, and then they come in overrun us. It's not going to happen. Devil would love to see you feuding, fussing, and fighting among yourselves, and he come in and take over. If you don't understand that in a marriage, your marriage is not going to work because he's out to get. Is this your wife? Huh? The devil would love to come between you there, have you fighting, carrying on, and then if you have any children, he's got the children. And we got to be smarter than that. That right? Peter said, 1 Peter 5, verse number 1, be sober. Be vigilant. Why? Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, he's seeking whom he may devour. He doesn't care how he destroy your family. You, him, or her, or your daughter, it doesn't make any difference. That's the same way with the church. And brother, when you have church problems, listen, don't kill each other out. Fine, I said, wait a minute, the devil has gotten in. I remember years ago, the devil got in my family, had me want to knock my wife in the head over some money. And don't we do it? And you men the same way, you ain't no different. Wife messing money up, don't know where it is, you want to knock her in the head. Go kill your wife over some money. Well, that's what I was going to do. And I got to thinking and read 1 Peter, where Peter said, be sober, be vigilant. The devil, I said, the devil, I told my wife, I grabbed her. It was hard. I said, honey, that's the devil trying to destroy our family. We're not going to let it happen. So I told my wife, I said, from now on out, this is over. We're not doing this anymore. So we've still been 42 years, the same girl. That's a long time, isn't it? You know what somebody said one time? If a man or a woman stay with a man 40-something years, they deserve to go to heaven, don't they? Well, stick it out as a church. Have some problems, don't endorse the devil. Whatever you do, how do you endorse the devil? Do what's wrong. This is how you endorse the devil. Do what's wrong, you're endorsing the devil. When you talk about your brothers and sisters, scandalizing the name, you're endorsing the devil. Anybody endorse the devil? I got some brothers at home that hate me. They just don't like me. And I tell him, I said, brother, I know you don't like nothing, but I'm praying that God don't be too hard on you when he punishes you, because he's going to punish you. God is not a mock. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he reap. He'll reap what you sow. And when God whoop you, you can't call the police. You're going to call the police, the government. Well, let's go on down here a little further here. Suitable. Are you suitable? Spreading. Are you spreading? Now look what we have here. Look what the word will do for us. The word of God will make us whole. The word of God will make us walk circumspectly. The word of God calls us to worship properly. The word of God will cause us to work. Now brethren, please get this. Worship is not work.
Amen.
I don't think you heard that. We come to this place to worship.
Amen.
We come here to be edified so we can go to work. Our work is not on the inside. Then there's a willing. Are you willing to work and go to the world? I remember I heard that lately, some folks back home in the military. Well, I just don't think my kid ought to be in Iraq or Iran. I said, what did they join for? Crying. When I was in Vietnam, the same way. I said, man, why did you volunteer? What you crying for? You remember the church, right? I mean, it wasn't. Listen, you volunteered to obey the gospel. God called you out of darkness and modern life with the gospel. He said, go in my vineyard and work. Whatsoever done right, I'll pay you. So you got to come in here and work. I just don't want to do anything. Holy. All that whining and carrying on. Grow up in Christ. Are you concerned about souls? Well, let's go a little further. That's good, isn't it? Now, see, God set this thing up. Essentials. Watch it. And look at Acts 14 and verse number 21. Victor, let's look at that. Everybody turn to Acts 14, 21. I think I got a few minutes here. What time do I need to quit, Victor? There it is. That 5 minutes? Well, listen, I'll just mention this. Watch it. And look here. And evangelize the sinners. Verse 21. Edify the saints. Verse 22. And elect the shepherds. Verse 23. In a local congregation that's fully scripturally organized. Evangelists, elders, deacons. Let me pause a moment. Why did God want these in the church? Why? Why? Why does he want elders, deacons, evangelists, members in the church? Why? See, if you don't know why, you're going to miss it. Evangelists is to preach the word. 1 Timothy 4 and verse number 16, Paul said to the evangelist that he should tend to the doctrine. Elders, the disciples, right? Deacons, servants. Why? Don't forget this. Equipping and encouraging the saints, every member, to do what? The big three. You know what the big three are? We miss it in the churches of Christ. Don't know what the big three are. Watch it. Broadcasting, that's evangelism. Building up, that's edification. Benevolence, no encouragement. What else? Elders and evangelists, their job primarily in Bible school teachers, to equip saints to do work. Back at home when I was a boy, my granddad, I couldn't figure it out for nothing. He was the head of the family. And what he did, all that cotton in that field that had to be picked, my granddaddy was not going to pick that cotton. So know what he did? He equipped all the boys with cotton sacks and showed them how to work. Elders, evangelists, deacons, teach the members how to work.
Amen.
You don't teach them how to work, they'll die. This congregation will die out. Now, gotta see the paper here. Gotta see the paper. Blank sheet of paper in your mind. I want you to write your name on it and write where you're working in the church. If you're a member of the Church of Christ, I'm talking to you. If you're not a member of the Church of Christ, I'm not talking to you. If you're a member of the Church of Christ, you ought to be working in evangelism, edification, benevolence. Now, write down where you're working. Make an honest evaluation of yourself. Now, somebody said, well, I don't know how to do any work, any of that kind of work. Well, you need to go talk to your elders, your preacher. Say, you all need to set up a program to teach me how to go to work. OJT, on the job training. Oh, you see, and it just got so quiet. You mean to tell me you've been in the Navy 20 years and you're not a professional? You mean to tell me you've been in the Church of Christ all this time and you're not working in one of these capacities? Well, man, if you worked at Walmart, they'd fire you before sundown. Where you work at Walmart? What you do? I don't do anything. You remember the Church of Christ? Yeah, what do you do? I don't do anything but worship. You don't work? No, I just worship. And I live good. And guess what? I'm going to help you out. This is going to hurt. Get ready for it. If you think that you're going to work, I mean, live a good life, worship God, and go home and don't do no work, if you think you're going to heaven, you're whistling this. You're fooling yourself. You are fooling yourself. A lot of people say, he's faithful. What is it? He worships every Sunday. He gives, and he's a good man. Does he do anything in the church? No. Where are you going? Do you actually think that you're going to go to heaven and you want to come in? Work? You mean tell me you've been in the Church of Christ? This hard. I want it hard on you. You've been in the Church of Christ all this time, and you can't say that you are a professional in one of the three or all. You ought to be a... Somebody said, thank God for the bill. Thank you very kindly. Class is over.